Welcome to the Reset Podcast. I'm Liz Tran, an executive coach to founders and CEOs of fast-growing tech companies, and I attribute my success to my spiritual practices, which are rooted in mindfulness and Zen Buddhism. In this podcast, I combine business advice with spiritual lessons to help you lead a courageous, authentic, and fulfilled life. Hi, I am really excited about the topic of today's podcast. We are talking about the three myths of success. And these are three mindsets and beliefs that most of us pretty commonly hold, believing that they will be our key to success, our key to accomplishment. But really, they're actually holding us back. They are these mythologies that we've been taught and trained and that we've followed. And when we're not getting the results that we want, we wonder, okay, is there something wrong with me? And so what I wanted to do in this episode is to dismantle these myths, to break them down, to explain why they actually aren't true, and then to replace them with actually helpful, supportive advice. And I've been thinking a lot about these myths recently, because I just celebrated my 4-year anniversary of leaving my previous job and profession, going out on my own, branching out and starting Reset. So it's been 4 years now that I have been coaching CEOs and founders and figuring out how to run my own business. It's been 4 years almost since I launched this podcast, since I launched the Instagram account. And I was thinking about all the lessons that not only have I accrued over the years of what's worked and what hasn't worked, but also what has resonated and been effective with the clients who I coach as well. And these were the top three things that came to mind. I also write about them in depth in my book, which is coming out in 2 weeks. I'm so excited about it. July 25th is the pub date. So if you haven't gotten your copy yet, there's a link in the show notes. And also, if you happen to be in New York City the day after, July 26th, then I'm having a book reading with my friend Sophia Lee at the Strand, where we will be talking about all things related to spirituality and career success. So please join us. It'll be really fun. I think it's like 150 people, and it's in the Rare Book Room at my favorite bookstore in New York City. If you like what we are talking about here, then check out the book for more stories and examples of people who have embodied the antithesis of these three myths of success. Okay, so let's get right into it. The very first myth that we are going to be dismantling and dispelling today is the harder you push yourself, the more successful you'll be. So let me say that again. We believe that the harder we push ourselves, that the more success will come. Now take a second to think about it. Is this you? Do you have this internal dialogue when you think you aren't working hard enough, or if you're slacking off? Do you blame yourself when things aren't going your way because you should have done things differently? You should have tried harder. And if you're not sure, then I want to invite you to experiment with that today. As you move through your day, then pay attention to what your inner dialogue says as you are working. Is your inner dialogue supportive and encouraging? Does it say things like, hey, great job. You did really well there. Keep going. Why don't you take care of yourself today? Or does it say things like, oh, you messed that up. That wasn't good enough. Pay attention and see if the word should comes up a lot in your internal dialogue, such as, I should have woken up earlier. I should have exercised today. I should have been better prepared. And then start to pay attention to whether or not that voice in your head is more critical or more positive. What percentage of your thoughts are kind to yourself, and what percentage of your thoughts are critical? Many years ago, when I worked in venture capital, I had this really incredible executive coach named Katya, who my company was really generous to pay for. And I learned so much from her during the 2 or 3 years that we worked together. And in one of my most memorable career experiences, she invited me to a group with other people that she coached. And she had someone who was doing this work called Family Constellations come and give us all a Family Constellations reading. And the idea behind Family Constellations is that you are pinpointing the most toxic, unproductive, and hurtful mindset that you've inherited generationally from your family. And then in the session, what you do is you actually reverse it. You learn to see the real truth instead of this narrative that's been passed on in your family line. And for me, it was really about this myth of success. And I really grew up believing my whole life that work was not supposed to be fun. I did not have any role models in my life of people who enjoyed their work or did it as purpose, as vocation. Instead, work was either something to be tolerated or something that could exist in the best case scenario as a status symbol to show how great you were. If you were a lawyer or a doctor, then that said a lot about you. But nowhere in this equation was there the possibility that work could be something that you did as self-expression, that you did that created joy and happiness or fulfillment in your life. And so I never thought that that was possible for me. And even further, I didn't even know that it was possible in general. I just didn't know anyone. I didn't know people who ran their own businesses successfully and happily. I didn't know people who loved going to work. And even deeper into my personal family history, I am Vietnamese, and so much of the history of the country of Vietnam has involved war with people who want to colonize Vietnam, whether it's the Japanese, the Chinese, the French, or really the Americans during the Vietnam War. We have always been enmeshed in some type of power play that's happening in the global sphere and therefore puts us in the center of war. And so my grandparents, they grew up their whole lives knowing war. And as a result, my grandfather, who always wanted to be a poet, he didn't get a chance to do that. He had to join the military, where he spent his entire career, and he worked his way up to being a two-star general. And even though he had the success, he didn't love it, right? I mean, who would love going to the battlefields every day? So this mindset that I possessed, that work is something to be tolerated, that you have to do, that is not enjoyable, it came much deeper. It wasn't just from my mom and the adults around me when I was growing up. It was this deeply inherited belief that I carried through. And so when I worked with my coach and I did this family constellation session, I came back from it and I thought, oh, I have to get rid of this anxiety and this constant voice of critique that's telling me that I need to be in the office until 10 or 11 at night, or that I need to be answering emails 24/7, that I need to skip my friend's bridal shower and bachelorette party because I need to be traveling for work, and I need to understand a new way of being. And I asked my coach, I was like, what is it? If I don't have anxiety driving me, how am I going to be successful? I actually really didn't understand, because I attributed so much of my success in my career to that voice of anxiety of like, did I do it good enough? Can I do it better? What should I have done? And she looked at me as if it were the easiest answer in the world. And she said, joy. Joy is going to motivate you. Joy is going to motivate you so much more than fear and anxiety ever can. Because at the end of the day, fear and anxiety, they may be effective in getting you to work harder and work longer and be more careful and more thorough, but they don't have longevity. You will burn out. When you work through the lens of anxiety, your nervous system is always activated. You're always working from a standpoint of fight or flight. Your parasympathetic nervous system never has a chance to kick in, which is rest and digest. You never get back to stasis. You're never calm. And after a while, that constant elevation of cortisol and stress that fuels you to get your work done well It eats away at you. And that is why so many of the type A top performers we know in our lives, and maybe that's you, maybe it's your friends, that's why they burn out. That's why they can't last. And so the myth that we're talking about today, the harder you work, the more successful you will be, is wrong and needs to be replaced with the truth. And that truthful statement is, the more you love yourself, the more successful you will be. Okay, so I'll say that again one more time. The more you love yourself, the more successful you will be. So perhaps you have immediately had some type of visceral reaction to this. Like, how could that possibly be true? If I'm not critical of myself and I'm not pushing myself, how will I ever get anything done? And so my answer to that is to ask you to think about a mentor or a coach, a teacher, a boss, someone in your life who pushed you to your greatest potential. What were they like? How did they treat you? What did they see in you? Consider what your overall relationship with this person was like. And chances are, this person was not mean and flagellating to you. They did not critique you constantly. They did not insult you and say negative things about you mostly. Chances are, they saw you and all your gifts and talents, and that is why they believed in you. They said to you, you are great. I know you have potential. You are excellent. And that is why I'm pushing you. Their encouragement of you stemmed from love and belief. And that's exactly the type of mindset that I want you to cultivate for yourself. Because yes, in the short term, having a self-critical and anxious relationship to your work will probably get you pretty far, but you'll feel really crappy along the way. You will burn out and it won't last. The only way to have an enduring and healthy, productive relationship to your work is to put yourself first. And this is something that I really work on with my coaching clients. Of course, I show up to sessions ready to help find solutions to their problems and to also identify where mistakes were made. But just as importantly, my job is to acknowledge and to recognize moments of wins and success and talent that my clients who are the hardest on themselves can't always see. I think it is just as important for me to help my clients understand how great they are as it is to help them grow, because the two are intricately linked. And so my suggestion for you to work with dismantling this myth is a very light journaling exercise. Super easy. I do it almost every night. And what you do is you just write down three things that you did well that day. It's super simple. You've probably heard me talk about this before, but I actually do this every day and it has really helped me rewire my relationship with myself. And instead of all those shoulds of you should have done that, you should have done that, you should have done that, I know that voice will always be there, but I'm also offsetting it with a voice that says, you know what? You're doing pretty well. I see you. You're working hard. And the second thing I want to recommend is just to go through your calendar every morning and ask yourself, how can I take care of myself today? And this is when I make sure I have breaks for lunch, breaks for walks, breaks for snacks, time to exercise. That comes first. And when I do those nurturing, nourishing activities, the entire time I think to myself, I'm working. This is the best work I can do for myself, is to tend to who I am. So again, just to recap this myth, we believe that the harder we push ourselves, the more successful we will be, when in truth, the more we love ourselves, the more successful we will be. And so earlier, I asked you to think about what percentage of your thoughts about yourself and your work are negative and critical versus positive and acknowledging. And I want to see if you can get that number closer to 50-50. You know, most people, it's very off balance. They think 90% critical thoughts, only 10% positive thoughts. And so I want you to work towards 50-50 and eventually towards 80-20. Okay, so let's move on to the second myth. Myth number two is this: success should follow a specific process, and timeline. I'll say that again. We believe that success should follow a specific process and timeline. And what I mean by this is that we often carry this false belief that things need to happen alongside the same time as our peers or by a certain date in order for us to feel really successful. And I remember talking to a new client once, and I always ask my new clients, what are your greatest failures in life? And he was so accomplished. He had done so much with his life and his education. But what he said is that he was always sad that he missed out on getting Forbes 30 under 30, even though now he had this really amazing company that was doing really well. And I remember thinking how things like that, Forbes 30 under 30, whatever, Fortune 40 under 40, how they create this really dangerous narrative that things are better when they happen to us when we are young, when we are prodigies, when we get things done faster than everyone else. And thus, it compels us to go for the time-based milestone. And that's an external milestone. It's something that exists outside of us that society looks at and says, oh, wow, you're ahead of the pack, versus doing what feels good for us. I am 38. I have now officially lived in New York City for 15 years. And when I came here, I had all these dreams for my future, and they have all come true and so much more, far beyond what I could have ever imagined in my wildest imagination could happen to me. I'm very, very lucky when it comes to career and life and love and family. And the thing is, it was so messy. None of it looked good along the way. And so what I wanted to underscore here that I cannot emphasize enough is that success doesn't have to look like anyone else's. And instead of us believing that it has to follow a specific timeline, the truth is your journey is unique. Your path is right. Whatever timeline you are on, that is the right one. Maya Angelou published her first book when she was 41 years old. Vera Wang started her now very famous and very successful fashion company when she was 40 years old. And Julia Child, who is essentially the biggest name in the history of American cooking, she published her first cookbook when she was 51. And so there's time, right? We can live all these other lives. I always think about how Maya Angelou, it wasn't like she was doing nothing until she was 41, but she just wasn't writing books. She was acting, she was singing, she was doing activism work. And that's the thing. All of those experiences, even if they don't seem so linear and so neat, they all created this amazing, brilliant person that she became. And that is what enabled her to write so brilliantly. And so I want you to also remind yourself that even if your path doesn't look so straightforward, that everything that you're doing is leading you exactly where you need to go. I look back on my life, and there have been so many zigzags and twists and turns and things that I tried to do that didn't work, or things that I wanted and didn't get. And I don't regret any of them. I don't regret getting married in my 20s and then getting divorced by the time I was 30. I don't regret trying to start a company when I was 30 and then giving up within 3 months. I don't regret doing my yoga teacher training and never teaching yoga, because all of those moments still created the outcome that I have today. Life is so short, and I know it feels really long at times. You know, this idea that you have 60, 70, maybe even 80 years ahead of you, but truly it goes by so quickly. And so why live your life against someone else's perception of how it should be? Why waste time comparing yourself to others, especially if that comparison just makes you feel badly about yourself? It's really funny. I'd actually like to do some sort of longitudinal study about everyone who has indeed won Forbes 30 under 30. And this is no shade to people who have, because I have a lot of great friends who really deserve it. But I would like to see you know, where they are in 10, 15 years and what actually played out, what happened to them. And I would imagine that that designation is no more indicative of long-term future success, meaning, and happiness than anything else. It doesn't mean anything except to the superficial mind. And since you don't want to live a superficial life, then forget about all those false ideas of where you should be by now and what your five-year plan is and what you should get done by a certain amount of time compared to your peers. Instead, realize what the truth is. Your journey is unique and timelines are just an illusion. Okay, so this brings us to the last and final myth of success. And this is it. We believe that success comes from the mastery of skill, when in reality, success comes from the mastery of failure. So let me break this down. I think that we have this belief that we need to be the best, or we need to be really good at something in order to be successful. If we start something new and we find that we aren't picking it up right away or not very good at it, we have this tendency to just give up, right? Because we believe that, okay, I'm not doing well at this, which means I'm never going to be the best at this, and therefore I will not be able to be successful in this arena. But what I want to hammer home here is that it doesn't matter how good you are at the beginning. In fact, it's actually fine and good if you are failing a lot when you're getting started doing anything, because success actually comes from the mastery of failure. If you look at any famous person in the world, any successful person, any person who's at the top of their field, they will all tell you stories of rejection, failure, mistakes, and bad decisions. Just some examples here. So Stephen King, his first book was rejected 30 times before he found a publisher. Melanie Perkins, who is the CEO and founder of Canva, which is now worth over $30 billion, and she is a young self-made billionaire herself, she was rejected over 100 times for years before she could raise her first round of funding. No one believed in her idea. And so that's the thing, is that when you start anything new, when you begin anything that makes you feel a little vulnerable, when you do something different than what other people are doing, you're going to get a lot of rejection. And you might also get a lot of skepticism and a lot of negativity from the people in your life. And that doesn't mean that they don't love you. It doesn't mean that they don't care for you. It just means that they don't quite get what you're doing because it's so different from what they think is possible for their own lives. It activates some sort of fear response in them, or they just want you to be safe. They don't want you to get hurt. They don't want you to get your hopes up only for them to be dashed. And so I like to think that whenever I'm starting something new, I really cocoon it into a bubble of privacy. I try not to tell very many people, except for people I know will be unequivocally very excited for me, what it is that I'm doing. And I think about putting it in like an emotional greenhouse. So with plants, before they can survive the very vicious weather outdoors, we keep them in the greenhouse where we can control the environment, can nurture and protect them until they grow strong enough to exist in the real world. And the same thing is true with any of our endeavors. They are very fragile to begin with. Our dreams are incredibly vulnerable. And so we need to just protect them and keep them safe from the forces around us that will knock them down, whether advertently or inadvertently, until those dreams and ideas are strong enough to exist in the world on their own. And so I will say this, if you are failing at something right now, if you are bad at it, that will not be true for very long. There's a beautiful Japanese saying that translates to fall seven times, get up eight. And I repeat this to myself over and over again, because I am often not good at things when I first begin. just as a very silly example, I finally learned how to make a reel on Instagram, and it took me so long to do something really simple and basic. And there's a part of me that was getting frustrated, but there's another part that was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to be much better at this after my fifth reel that I make. I just have to keep going. And so that's the thing. We need to have this gentle mindset with ourselves that encourages failure. That when you do stumble at something, when you aren't great at it, you cheer yourself on and you say, hey, this is great. I am bad at it right now, but I am getting better. In the first year of quitting my job and starting Reset, it was really, really tough. I felt really bad at what I was doing. I was having a really difficult time and I almost gave up. And I remember my husband, Dev, he said, just keep going for 6 more months. Because I thought, okay, why don't I just take a job as like a COO at some startup or, you know, go back into working in venture capital? Because I was really, really struggling emotionally, financially, just all across the board. And he said, just keep trying for 6 more months. And so now that's my mantra with everything, is that I just need to give it a little bit more time. And remember for this particular myth that we tend to only feel good about ourselves when we're feeling successful. But what's really important is actually to reverse that and to celebrate yourself when you're not doing well. That's when you most need it, because that's when you're doing the hardest work. Yeah, of course, would we all love to be great at everything that we did? Absolutely. But that also means that we are not learning and growing. Another way that I've personally worked to rewire this is with my writing, where I used to really let my emotional state be governed by whether or not I had a good or a bad day writing. I would think to myself, oh, wow, I got a lot of words done today. I love what I wrote. I can feel good about myself. And then other days when the writing was really stilted and I tried my best but didn't get very much good stuff done, I'd be really hard on myself and I'd let myself feel kind of sad and frustrated all the rest of the day. It would ruin my whole day. And now the way that I've restructured this myth is that I don't need to succeed every time I sit down to write, because the act of literally just sitting down for 90 minutes and not getting out of my chair, and whether I write 2,000 words and it's a great day, or I write 10 words and just stare at my computer, it still counts. I celebrate both equally. And so on a meta level, can you do the same? Can you celebrate the proverbial days where you write 10 words as much as the days where you write 2,000 words? Because if anything, really, it's the 10-word days that help you get better at whatever craft it is that you are trying to hone. Okay, so this is what I have for you today. I hope that it is encouraging and I hope that it is supportive to you. And just to recap the 3 myths and the related truths, the first myth is the harder you push yourself, the more successful you will be. When the reality, the truth is the more you love yourself, the more successful you will be. Myth number 2, success should follow a specific process and timeline. But in reality, the truth is that timelines are an illusion and your journey is unique. And then finally, myth number 3, success comes from the mastery of skill. But the truth is that success comes from the mastery of failure. Okay, those are my big 3 things I have learned across my journey and my journey with my clients. And thank you all for listening and thank you for leaving reviews. I feel like I always ask for them. And recently I saw on Spotify that we now have 500 reviews. So thank you. That's awesome. It's so huge. And thank you for listening. I love hearing from you. And I will see you all back here in 2 weeks.